Okay, so yesterday we said that today we're going to do Birchas Hamapil, right? Did we say that yesterday? Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about Birchas Hamapil. Birchas Hamapil is an unusual bracha because it is explicit in the Gemara that you're supposed to say Birchas Hamapil. It's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to say Birchas Hamapil, and yet some very righteous and fine Jews do not say Birchas Hamapil. So one thing we have to talk about is why would that be the case? Why would some very righteous and fine Jews not say Birchas Hamapil? But even more fundamentally before that, Nogea to Kant. What happens all the time? Why were so many counselors asking me yesterday about Birchas Hamapil? What's likely to happen after you recite Birchas Hamapil?
Your kids.
You need to talk. Your kids are going to do something. You need to say something. You need to. So, and one thing everyone knows about Birchas Hamapil is you're not supposed to talk after Birchas Hamapil. So we have to figure out, is that true? How serious is that, that you're not supposed to talk after Birchas Hamapil? You know, I know, for example, if I want to eat an apple, let's say, and I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Baruch Pri Ha'Eitz, and then I stop to have a conversation with someone on the side, and then I take a first bite out of the apple, that's a problem. Right, you're not allowed to talk after the bracha before you do what you're saying the bracha on. Is Birchas Hamapil like that? So let's take a look. There is a Gemara. Where would the Gemara be that tells us to say Birchas Hamapil? Brachas. Gemara brachas of Samach and Beis. Hanichnas lishan al mitaso. A person goes to his bed to sleep. It's a very important line. When does this chiyuv set in? When you go to sleep on your bed. Every word of that is important. Not just stam go to sleep, it's stam go on your bed. Right? Sounds like when you're going to sleep for the night. What should you say? Omer mishma yisrael ad vahaya im shema. Say shema up until vayim shema, meaning the first parsha. The Omer, and you also say, and then the Gemara tells us this whole bracha. Baruch hamapil chevle sheina leina, yusnum alaf apai, umeir li ishon basayin. You know, thank you God for bringing sleep upon my eyes. That's a rough translation, obviously. And then you add like a whole tefillah. Yehi ratzom levenecha Hashem Elokai shetashkiveni l'shalom. That I should sleep peacefully. V'sein chelki b'sorasecha. And I should have a chelek in your Torah. A very strange request to put in at that time of day. Why is that a strange request to put in at that time of day? If there's one time, you're not going to be learning Torah. It's going to be the next 6 hours or 8 hours, or I guess if you're a teenager, 12 hours, right? However long that you're going to be out cold, that's when you're not going to be saying Chalki B'Sarasecha. So that's already dealt with by the Achron. Tzlach writes, you know why you're asking to say Chalki B'Sarasecha? You could have two people who do the same exact activity. For one person, he's doing nothing. He's doing nothing of any value, positive or negative. And for the other person, he's doing a great mitzvah. And the Rambam gives an example in the Hilchos Deos. Two people go to sleep. One of them is doing, or two people eat. One of them is doing nothing of any value. And the other one's doing a great mitzvah. How is that possible? It all depends why you're doing it. If I'm going to sleep because I'm lazy and I have nothing better to do, oh, it looks like it's going to be a rainy day, so we might as well wake up the entire camp an hour late because we got nothing to do. Right, so if that's your motivation in sleeping, I'm not chas v'sholem, you're questioning, but like I wonder what kind of midah that, like, you know, that, what kind of message that sends. Like, where's the niskaver kari? You know, like the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, but you know, I might as well sleep, got nothing to do anyway. So if that's why you're sleeping, so that has no religious value, obviously. But if you're sleeping because you need to be energized in order to be Ovid Hashem, so then it has great religious value. So says the Tzlach, a person might think, you know, when is a person chayv to learn Torah? How much Torah do you have to learn? As much as you can. Every moment of every day should be spent learning Torah, except for when you can't. What does it mean, except for when you can't? Well, you have to eat at some point, you have to daven at some point, you have to, you have to work at some point, you have to do other things. But in any moment that you're not doing something that you have to be doing, you should be learning Torah. That's the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. So one might think that he's giving the impression when he goes to sleep that he's shirking his responsibilities of Talmud Torah, that he's abandoning Torah in order to make it very clear to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to sleep to energize myself. I dafka issue a tefillah before I go to sleep, the same chalki, the sorasech. That I want my chelik in the Torah. I need a chelik in the Torah. The same chelki b'sarasecha. That's the tzlach, the author of Nagvi Yehuda. That's what he suggests. Another suggestion I found in the writings of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, that there are certain levels of Torah, and we don't know what this means, I don't think. There are certain levels of Torah that a person cannot achieve in a state of being awake. that can only be achieved when asleep. The best mashal I could think of is nevuah. Only Moshe Rabbeinu had a nevuah while awake. Every other Navi, b'chalom adaber bo. Right? With Moshe, it's b'hak, it's v'lo b'chalom. Only when he's awake, not when he's dreaming. But for every other Navi, it's only in a dream that they're spoken to. So a certain connectedness with what's going on up in Shemayim can only happen in a state of sleep. That's why there's a sefer called Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. Right, what's Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim? One of the Balei HaTosfos used to go to sleep at night, and in his dream he would go up to Shemayim and he would ask some Shalos and they'd give him the answers. He woke up and he wrote them down and he published a book. The answers that he got, quite literally, Min HaShemayim. There's a big machlokas in the poskim. The answers in Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, are they more authoritative than other Svarim, less authoritative than other Svarim, or about the same? What's the Svar to say they're more authoritative than other Svarim? They came straight from Shemayim. What's the Svar to say they're less authoritative? Loba Shemayim. You're not supposed to get Torah from Shemayim. What's the Svar to say they're about the same? Well, you know, if it makes sense, it makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense, like every other Sefer. So there's all debate in the Achronim about that. But the Gra assumes that there are certain things that you can get. You know, the author of Beis Yosef, who's the author of Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo, had a chavrusa with a malach. He wrote a book called Magid Meisharim, which is write-ups of his chavrusa with the malach. And we don't understand what this means. He was the greatest posek of his time, the greatest, most impactful posek of all time. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch, right? So in the history of the Jewish people, most impactful posek. But he was also the greatest Kabbalist of his time. And he used to have a chavrusa with the malach. They say that the Vilna Gaon was offered a chavrusa with the malach and he turned it down. He didn't have time. He didn't have time to with the malach. He was too busy. The Vilna Gaon held that anything that doesn't come through absolute amelus, through absolute hard work, is not worth it. So he wanted all of his Torah achievements to only come, Chaim Blazer quotes from the Vilna Gaon, to only come through hard work. What an unbelievable message. Right, Malach, I don't have time. You're just going to spoon feed me things. I don't need spoon feed. I need to work. That's a Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon was unusual, obviously. Now, that's how he understands the saying Chalkim Yisrael Zechar right before you go to sleep. I'm hoping for that chelik of Torah that can only be achieved when asleep. Okay, that's not the pasuk pshat. And then the bracha goes on. Don't bring me in the path of sin or tests or bizayon. Make sure that my yitzer tov controls me, not my yitzer hara. Save me from illness and from bad things. And bad dreams and bad thoughts shouldn't frighten me. That's the bracha of Amapil. Good. So two things that we want to discuss about Amapil. Oh, by the way, the Gemara then says, and this is critical, that's when you go to sleep. Kimitayer, when you wake up, Omer, Elokai, Nishamash, Nasati Bitori, Ata Yitzartibi, Ata Nefachtibi, Ata Mishamra Bikirbi, Vata Meni Lachzirbi Laslovi. You know what we call this Gemara? A good Daf Yomi Gemara. You know, when you could just like read through a bunch of lines, like, oh, I know all those words. Calls Manchin Shobi Kirby Moda Nilvinach Hashem Lukai, Velukai of Sai, Ribon Kolom, Adon Kol Shamas, Brachat Hashem, Hamachzir and Shamas of Garim Mason. Those two brachas are mentioned back to back in the Gemara. That might be significant, that those two brachas are together. They might have something to do with each other. So that's something to keep in mind. Okay. The most critical question when it comes to the bracha of Amapil, especially when it comes to the issue of talking after Amapil, is what kind of bracha is Amapil? What do I mean, what kind of bracha? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, first part of Hilchos Brachos, there are three types of brachas in the world. There are three types of brachas, three categories of brachas. What are they? What are the three categories of bracha, three types of bracha? Good. Birchas Mitzvah, Birchas Shevach, Birchas Nen. What's an example of Birchas Mitzvah? Tzitzis, Tfilin, Lulav, Matzah. Right? And Birchas Mitzvah almost all share the same basic form. They start with the words Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu. They're almost all short and to the point. Al Mitzvah Tzitzis, Al Netilas Lulav, Leishev Basukah. Right? Very clear. Describe the action you're about to do. And Kala Mitzvahs Kulon Mevarchan Aleihem over Las Yasin. You always do it right before the mitzvah. That's Birchas Mitzvah. Birchas, let's say Hananin, let's take Birchas Hananin now. On food, or on smells, anything that you enjoy, a pleasure that you have in this world, before or after the pleasure? Usually before, although we do have birchas hamazon afterwards also, but usually before the pleasure, when you're about to experience the pleasure, in order to be matir that pleasure, you need to say a bracha. Usually also, shortened to the point, bari priya etz, bari mnevisanen, right? In order to get hana'ah from that pleasure, from the world. Third category, birchas shevach voda. Example? What? Thunder and lightning. You experience the awesomeness of God. You saw thunder and lightning, so you're overwhelmed with something, and you need to share that experience in the form of a bracha. It comes in all sorts of, before or after? After. Almost always after. Very, very rarely will we have a birchas shevach voda before. And you have like all sorts of situations. You meet an unusual chacham, there's a birchas shevach voda. You see a king, birchas shevach voda. Last summer I was with two of my sons. We took a trip to Toronto for 3 days because the Yankees were playing the Blue Jays in Rogers Center, 3-game series. So we went to all three games. We went to Toronto and went to all three games. So outside of the Rogers Center, we were walking outside once and we saw, sadly it wasn't seven, it was only six midgets, or it's not politically correct, little people walking outside, right, dwarves. So that's why I was a little sad it wasn't seven. I was kind of rooting for seven. Like, oh, let's count. One and seven, they're only six. But one of my kids asked me, should we say a bracha? Like, there's got to be a bracha on this. You know, this is unusual. No, he wasn't there, he was in Israel. There's got to be a bracha on this. So there is a bracha on this. There's a birchas shevach v'oda of some sort on that as well. Birchas hamapil, what kind of bracha is it? So let's process of elimination. Right, let's eliminate the one that it's obviously not mitzvah. It's definitely not a birchas mitzvah. There's not a shekhar shalom mitzvah mitzvahim. There's no mitzvah of sleeping, even though we said before it could be a mitzvah, but everything could be a mitzvah. Right? So there's no mitzvah of sleeping. So it's definitely not a birchas mitzvah. Which leaves us with what? So what do you think it is? Shavach, why? What are we praising Hashem about? Hashem has given human beings the ability to regenerate their energy. It's an amazing thing. Right? You know how awesome it is when like your phone is like at 2% and then you find a charger? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a charger every day. When we were about to be sapped, He gave us a charger. So that's an amazing Shevach. We want to praise Hashem for giving human beings the ability to regenerate. You know, when I go to sleep, I'm learning Night Seder here in the Beis Medrash. At night, my brain is fried. I'm looking at a Gemara, learning Zvachim here, looking at a Gemara. I just see like letters on the page, but it doesn't like mean anything. Just 5.5 hours later, I come back. And all of a sudden, like, it all makes sense. Because God gave me the ability to regenerate. And refresh, and all of a sudden, my brain works again. That's a great Shevach. Great Shevach. Or, what's the other possibility? It's a birchas hanenin. Why? Sleeping is kishmak. It's a real hana'ah to sleep. Now, yeah? So this would be an unusual birchas hashavach, right? Because you're not, normally you would do birchas hashavach after you experience the shavach. Although, sometimes you do birchas shevach even if you're not personally experiencing anything. The world is experiencing something. So the shevach, and that could be, you know, all of the birchas hashachar in the morning. I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nosen l'sech v'vina l'avchim ben yom ve'n layla. What's that bracha about? Say it every day. Nosen l'sech v'vina l'avchim ben yom ve'n layla. That the rooster crows. I don't live near any roosters. I never hear any rooster crowing. And yet, I'm still saying that bracha. Why? Because the world is experiencing the crow of the rooster. So sometimes you could have it even when you're not, right? But it's about that shevach that exists. Now, birchas hanenin is also a possibility. But right now, we're talking like we're up in the air. You know, like we haven't like given any bar mikvahs. You know, who says what? Does anybody say one way or the other?
If it's shevach, then why is it worded the way it is? You're talking about an epiphany, maybe not.
Good, but there's also a great deal of shevach. Right? Look what we're saying. Meaning, yes, you're making it personal, but it's singing the praises of Hashem. It doesn't really sound like a birchsanen in that much. But you're right. The fact that you're making it personal makes it sound, that's why it's a confusing bracha. Now, there is a Tosfos in Maseches Brachos, and Daf Yud Aleph Beis asked the following very intriguing question. There is a mitzvah to sit in sukkah on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Good, you're all aware of that, I assume, right? And what is that mitzvah? What does it mean? The mitzvah to do what in the sukkah? Leishev, which means live, to live in the sukkah. Mitzvah to live in the sukkah. Yeshiva sometimes means sitting, sometimes means dwelling. Over here it means dwelling, to live in the sukkah. What does it mean? What do you have to do in the sukkah? Yeah, ideally everything you do in the house, but what must you do in the sukkah? Two things, eating and sleeping. Which one is a stronger chiyuv? Sleeping is actually the stronger of the two chiyuv. Because eating, the halacha is, you have to eat an achilas keva in the sukkah, but an achilas arai. If you're just going to have a snack, you could do it outside of the sukkah. By sleeping, even a shenas arai in the sukkah. It's got to be in the sukkah. So sleeping is a more powerful chiyuv in a certain sense. Okay, if you live in New York and it's freezing and whatever, and you're mitztayer, and mitztayer is patur from sukkah, it's the only mitzvah, by the way, where if it's annoying, you're patur. Mitztayer means you find that the mitzvah is annoying, it's troubling, it's burdensome, then you're patur. The only mitzvah like that. That's the famous story of Rav Chaim Moser. Someone came to visit Rav Chaim Moser and he was old and he was sick. And it was sukkah's time. So he told the person, go have a bite to eat. You just traveled. Go down to the sukkah, have a bite to eat. So he said, are you going to join me? He said, no, I'm a mitztayer. I'm old. I'm sick. I can't. I'm a mitztayer. It's too cold outside. And the guy goes down. And then 5 minutes later, Rav Chaim Moser joins him. And he says, I thought you're mitztayer. He says, yeah, mitztayer is put from sukkah, but mitztayer is not put from achnas sorchim. So I have no choice. I mean, there's no other mitzvah where mitzvah is pot. Okay, fine. But really, 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 sleeping is a greater chiyuv than eating. Asks Tosfos a simple kasha. Before you eat in the sukkah, you say, Abracha, Asher Kishon, Tosfos Yisvanu, Leishev Basukkah. How come you don't say Abracha before you sleep in the sukkah? Asher Kishon, Tosfos Yisvanu, Leishev Basukkah. It's a greater chiyuv. How come you don't say Abracha before sleeping in the sukkah? Tosfos gives two answers. One answer, Tosfos says, you do. You covered it with the bracha on eating. You said a bracha leishev b'sukkah before you ate dinner that night, and then you stayed in the sukkah and slept. So it was already covered. You already said the bracha. We don't paskin like that answer. I can prove to you we don't paskin like that answer. Because if you do paskin like that answer, what would you say? What would that mean? Yeah, if you stay in the sukkah the whole time, you wouldn't only say one day. Oh, what if you didn't eat dinner that night? Would you then say a bracha and sleep in the sukkah? You ever see anyone say a bracha? No, no one else say a bracha and sleep in the sukkah. What if you ate dinner at a friend's sukkah and you went back to your sukkah that night? Would you then say a bracha and sleep in the sukkah? Absolutely not. So we don't pass like that answer of Tosfos. Here's the answer we do pass like, it seems like. Tosfos says, you know why you can't make a bracha leishev b'sukkah before you sleep in the sukkah? Because you might not fall asleep. And then it will be a bracha levatala. You might be tossing and turning, you won't be able to fall asleep, then it will be a bracha levatala. So you can't risk it. It's too risky. That's Tosfos. That's about Leishev Sukkah. Asks the Maritz Chayes on the spot. You're not going to say a bracha on sleep because you're afraid that you might not be able to fall asleep? Hello? Chazal were misakin a bracha on sleep every single night. And apparently they weren't worried that you might not fall asleep. They were misaking a bracha on sleep. What bracha? Hamapil. Strong kasha, no? What? Ah, so one approach is the Eliyahu Rabba's approach, where he says, you might not fall asleep in a sukkah, because it's uncomfortable. In your, queen-size bed, in your central air-conditioned home, where everything, and in your double pillow mattress top, whatever, I don't know, you'll be fine. You're out on a cot in a freezing cold sukkah, and there's like a raccoon that crawled into bed with you. That's where you might not fall asleep. In a chinam. Right? Then it would turn out you wouldn't say I'm not building the sukkah either, right? In a chinami. But that's the Eliyahu Rabba. Maritz Chayes still gives a different answer. Maritz Chayes says, no. You know why you say a bracha of a mapil every night? Because the bracha of a mapil is not on your sleep that night. You're not saying a bracha on you going to sleep. You're saying a bracha that Hashem created this great thing called sleep. And you're being mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating sleep. What are they arguing about? What kind of bracha is it? The Eli Rabba understands that you're saying a bracha on my sleep right now, meaning it's a birchas hanan. Whereas Maritz Chaya says, I'm making a bracha about Hashem made this amazing thing called sleep. It's a birchas hashavach. Different type of bracha. L'mayin nafkamina whether something is a birchas hanan, birchas hashavach. So this is where it gets to the camp counselor issue. Can you talk afterwards? If you hold the birchas hananin, so you cannot say a bracha on an apple, then have a conversation, then take a bite out of the apple. Cannot talk. It will ruin the whole bracha. And that's why the Mishra Brura is makbid that a person shouldn't talk after hamapia. But if you hold the birchas hashavach, it's not about my sleep. It's not going on this act of sleeping. Chazal were masaking. What's the mechayev of the bracha? When you're going to sleep and you're about to, you know, meaning it's sleepy time, that's the most opportune time to say this bracha. Just like in morning time, it's the most opportune time to say, although one can question when you wake up at whatever, 10 o'clock city time, which is, I guess, essentially when the camp woke up today, right? It's so far removed when that sechli was given vina lavchin v'yom v'laila, but nevertheless. Right? So that's the most opportune time to say the bracha. But it's not about that sleep right now. Then maybe you'd be allowed to talk. And in fact, many poskim hold you are allowed to talk. Or forget about talking stam for a conversation. What about, you have to go to the bathroom after you said a mapil. So okay, of course you're going to go, because otherwise you're not going to fall asleep, right? And it's a violation of some sort of isur, baltashaksu or whatever, to not go. So you're going to go, but after you come out of the bathroom, what do you normally do? Asher Yatzah. So do you say Asher Yatzah? If it's a Birch Sinanin, you better not, because you can't be mafsik. If it's a Birch Shavach, yeah, sure, you say Asher Yatzah. Another nafkamina. What if you're not sure if you're going to be able to fall asleep? You've been having trouble lately falling asleep. So again, Birch Sinanin, don't say a mafil. Birch Shavach, yes, say a mafil. Another nafkamina. Why is it that you don't say Birch Samapil when you take a nap during the day? Like even like a teenager long Shabbos afternoon nap. You know, like what adults call like a full night's sleep, right? A 4-hour nap. Right? Why is it that no one ever says Samapil on an afternoon nap? Well, no, so you tell me. If it's a Birch Shavach, it's very easy when not. Why? No one's sleeping. It's not sleepy time. It's, you're a teenager, so you're bored or whatever, so you're sleeping, but it's not, the Birch Shavach was nitgan for a time that the world is sleeping. But if it's a Birch Sinan, you're going to need some other answer of why you don't say Hamapil when you take it. So the Achronim suggests, because Hamapil is about protecting us from Mazikin, from these spiritual forces and whatever, and those aren't around during the day. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. But you need some other explanation. There's also machlokas when you say a mapil, before or after Kriya Shema. There's a discussion whether you say it after Chatzos. That probably relates to the Mazikin business. That's also an interesting discussion. But whether you say before or after Kriya Shema may also relate to this issue. Birch Samapil. The Rishonim ask why the bracha of Elokai Neshama in the morning doesn't start with Baruch Atah Hashem. Most brachas start with the Baruch. You know which brachas don't start with the Baruch? Most of the brachas in Shemon Esrei. Why? Baruch Asmuch L'Chaverita. They come on the heels of another bracha. Says the Ravi, Elokai Neshama doesn't start with the Baruch because it's a Baruch Asmuch L'Chaverita. What bracha comes right before it? Hamapiyam. That was 8 hours ago. Yeah, but it's all part of the same process. That Hamapil is right before sleep, Elokai Neshama is right after sleep, meaning it's all one unit. You know, when the Rambam counts the 100 brachas that a person is supposed to say every day, you know what the first bracha he has? First bracha, bracha number one every day? Hamapil. So strange, right? That should be the last bracha every day. But apparently he understands that this is all about sleep, which is the first thing you do each day to energize yourself. If you hold that it's that it's a bracha on your sleep, that it makes sense that you'd call it a bracha smuch al chavirta. But if it's not about my sleep at all, then it's got nothing to do with my elokai neshama. Yeah. That's also a good kasha. The Rav must have meant, right? What about it? Yeah, you'd have to say it right after you wake up. I don't know. Good. Also, right. Very strong question. I just want to spend the last couple of minutes discussing why it is that some people don't say it. So a couple of suggestions I've heard. That Rosh Sturmbach and Shufas Vanaga suggest that Hamapil Chevle Shena, that the Mechayev of the Bracha is only when you're overcome with Chevle Shena, when you're like totally dozing. And since it's very hard to identify that moment, so we never know when we're actually Chayev in the Bracha. That's what he suggests. I find that very hard to believe. But in the times of Chazal, they knew how to identify that moment, and we just don't, we lost the skill of identifying. Plus, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say, when the Chevle Shena hit you, you say, Mabel. What did the Gemara say? Hanichnas Lishon Al Mitasa. When you go to your bed to sleep, that's the Mechayev of the Bracha. Rav Shachtu quotes from Salvechik that we don't need to say Hamapil, because if you say all the other psukim that go along with Kriya Shema, so those psukim cover all the themes of Hamapil. So once the themes of Hamapil are covered, it's not necessary to say Hamapil. Also hard to understand, because generally you're not allowed to say Bracha. I mean, you're not allowed to say Bracha in a different form than Chazal or Masaki the Bracha. Third possibility, Rabbi Abadi suggests, that you're nervous, if you hold like the Mishabur, that you're not allowed to talk afterwards, you're nervous you might have to talk afterwards, so people just do away with Hamapil. Says Rabbi Abadi, that idea is a chumras hedyotos shelo yeda hadin. It is a chumra of idiots who don't know the halacha, meaning that is clearly not correct. You don't do away with a bracha, the chazal or misakim, because you think the halacha is that you're not allowed to talk afterwards, which may or may not be true, and you're afraid you might talk afterwards. You know what the etzah is going to be? If you want to be machmir like the Mishnah Berurah, don't talk, right? That would be the etzah. Final suggestion is they say that there are some people that are so nervous that they're not going to be able to fall asleep, that they don't say Hamapil because of that, they're so concerned. In fact, you know, like by briskers are so nervous about everything that the anxiety of having said Hamapil is going to cause them to not be able to fall asleep. Right? The anxiety that they might not be able to fall asleep. It's like the old joke with the brisker that someone came and was ready to kill him, and he said, wait, just one second. He made a bracha, Dayan Emes or something, or Al Kiddush Hashem or something. He made a bracha B'Shem U'Malchus, and then the guy was so freaked out, he just ran away. He said, no. I said a bracha. No. So that's the suggestion, that they're so nervous that they're not going to be able to fall asleep, that none of these are really good reasons. And when the Gemara says that you should say a bracha, and the Shulchan Aruch passes to say a bracha, you know what you should probably do? You should probably say a bracha. Okay, so leave it at that.